And move right along to LD 711, 711. I believe we still have the Representative Bockingham here, who is the sponsor of this bill.
Good afternoon, Senator Rennie, Representative Heffler has left us, and members of the Committee on Marine Resources. I am Representative Billy Bob Bockingham, and I am here to present my bill, LD 711, an act to regulate oyster seed. This bill, as drafted, would restrict oyster farmers operating under a lease or license issued by the Department of Marine Resources to growing oysters only from seed that yields sterile oysters that do not reproduce. I submitted this bill on behalf of a constituent. However, since it has been drafted, additional information regarding science and market impact have been brought to my attention. While I am still concerned about the potential for interaction between cultured oysters and soft-shell clams, I now respectfully believe that we need more time to study this issue. I remain committed to working with all stakeholders to protect the necessary balance. Maine needs oysters and clams now more than ever. I look forward to continuing this dialogue and moving forward. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. Are you suggesting an amendment to the language that's drafted here?
So we're at the point where there's a public hearing on this bill, and I think there's a lot of information out there. I think the committee should take the opportunity to hear what people have to say on the issue and go from there.
Any other questions? Representative Landry?
I'll throw him a hard ball. Representative Bockingham, what point made you decide to take a different track?
When I was first brought this issue, it seemed very, you know, basic that there were two types of seeds, diploids and triploids, and one type could reproduce and the other was sterile, although I've found out since then that isn't exactly 100% effective, that even some of those, you know, sterile do reproduce as well. So, and then the other part of that issue was a conflict with soft shell, a perceived conflict with soft shell clams. So it was a clam committee chairman that brought the issue to me. Definitely sounded like a concern, something that we could address. At the time, I was informed that the price of diploids and triploid seed were the same, so it seemed like it would be easy for them to just choose the sterile option. But since then, I've found out that there's only one person that produces the sterile, and it would cause a lot of harm to the oyster industry. And I mean, I think that the oyster aquaculture industry is a really important industry to the state of Maine, and I don't want to see them harmed by a bill. Some of the other, you know, issues I found out were that oysters don't necessarily compete with softshell clams when it comes to habitat issues, that oysters attach to hard bottom and clams live in, you know, soft bottom sand and mud. And so not sure if there's necessarily a conflict there. I found out that as the water warms, you know, oysters have historically lived in our bays, you know, in the past as well. So there might not be really a prevention of oysters anyway. They might just take the natural progression as the waters move in to sort of reclaim the areas where they used to exist anyway. But, you know, we're at the public hearing process and the bill is here. And if you hear some, you know, information that gives you concern about the future of soft shell clams as far as the conflict with oyster, then I mean, now would be a time to take that issue up. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. So First of all, I want to assure everybody who is both here or online that if you want to be heard, you are absolutely going to be heard. This is a public hearing. That's exactly what we're here for. That being said, are you implying or saying that you would be comfortable with an ought not to pass?
I would really just like the committee to hear what people have to say on the issue.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that you guys are put here for purpose of determining what are good ideas as far as management and protection of resources. And I trust you guys and your decision, on that. I'm not claiming to be an expert on all of it myself. So I think that that's what public hearings are for, to have information provided. I'm sure there might be some written testimony submitted. There might be stuff in there for and against that's convincing, and I would rely on that information.
All right. Representative Gill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That being said, Representative, you kind of at least maybe inferred, or at least maybe I inferred from what you said, that there may be some competition or something that may go on between soft shell clams and oysters, because if they take over their old habitat, there may be some problems. But to me, they have very different habitats. That oysters have a tendency to be on hotter substrates, and the clams seem to be more in the sandy, muddy bottoms. So,
yeah, it appears that way. And I'll be honest, I wasn't an expert on oysters in their natural habitat before this, because oysters, I've grown up around the shore. I've dug clams, worms my whole life. We've never seen oysters in the wild, so I didn't really know what their habitat was. I always knew oysters came from Chesapeake Bay and down south and areas like that. So now the waters are warming up, and oysters are appearing in the wild. And if there was a conflict there, I wouldn't want to see anything interfere with our soft shell clams if there was a way we could prevent it. So I think it's something that merits discussion.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in this room who would like to testify in favor of this bill?
Can I say something?
Well, do you want to testify in favor?
In favor.
Oh, yes, please. Come on up. Please sign in.
Oh, yes.
When you start, I'll start the 3-minute timer.
I'll be short. I just want to make a couple of statements. I would like to see the state actually appropriate some money.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Could you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
My name is David Taylor. I'm the chair for the Georgia River Shellfish Committee.
Oh, thank you.
And I've talked to Pinkham, who put this bill in and stuff, and back and forth. I am in our area, as agriculture is growing, I am seeing more oysters in the intertidal water. So they are coming up on the hard bottom. And the clam population in our area, we're not seeing nothing in the mud like we used to. It's all up in the hard bottom. And I am seeing a few oysters around them. Nothing that's going to bother us right now. But who's to say in the future that might not bother with the clams being settling now up in the hard bottom and not so much in the mud. Why it's not settling in the mud, it might be due to a lot of predators now in the mud. And it could also be the water quality and a lot of other stuff. But I would like to, in the support of this bill, I would like to see some kind of support on it, with the state taking in mind that they should appropriate some money to see what would happen in a 5-year study or longer, whatever it took, to see if there is going to be a conflict of interest down the future. Not, I don't want to happen, say, 10 or 20 years from now, say, oh, why didn't we do something? I mean, no one has studied to see the impact that I know of. And that's what I would like to really see. Is this bill, if it had to be passed, it wait 5 years to do a little study. I know it's going to cost the oyster people more money. I know the diploid people are going to have to switch over to triploid, even though some of that is, like he said, it's not 100%, but just slow it down. I mean, agriculture, face it, the oysters are growing fast. Everybody's trying to get into it. Eventually, probably there'll be too many, and it will bottom out on price, and you'll see people getting out of it. But right now, I would like to see some money appropriated for this bill. Maybe go through or not, whatever the state feels is fine. But I would like to see some money to do a long-term study to see what's going to happen. Because I hate to see the wild harvesters get pushed out because they're having a hard enough time now getting past the predators with our settlement. Land settlement is down statewide. And we don't need oysters taking over a hard bottom, much less for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else in the room who would like to testify in favor of this bill? Thank you. I know, right?
All right, I'll try to be quick. Good afternoon, Senator Remy. Representative Hepler disappeared. And honorable members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources, my name is Bailey Bowden. I'm here to testify today in favor of LD 711 on behalf of the Town of Penobscot Shellfish Conservation Committee and the Town of Penobscot Select Board. This is not an anti-aquaculture bill. This is a responsible aquaculture bill. No jobs will be lost in the aquaculture industry because of this bill. However, if left unchecked, the spread of feral oysters by the aquaculture industry will lead to job losses in the wild shellfish harvesting industry. Triploid or sterile oysters grow faster than diploids or fertile oysters because a sterile oyster does not use any energy for the reproductive process. When fertile oysters spawn, the meat becomes thin and watery, which affects texture and color. The sterile oyster remains plump and firm all year. Current aquaculture practices allows oysters to reproduce in captivity, but the offspring leave the lease site and settle where the current takes them. This often includes the intertidal area, which the Maine law court continues to decide is private property that is owned by the upland landowner. The aquaculture industry refers to oyster growers as farmers and their oysters as animals. Using this analogy, feral oysters growing on the shoreline are no different than a hog farmer's piglets grazing on his neighbor's field. This is particularly disturbing as there have been no natural sets of oyster east of the Penobscot River for 3,000 years. This is confirmed in an email from Dr. Arthur Spice, the senior archaeologist at the Maine Historic Preservation Commission. And he states, there was a major ecological change in the Gulf of Maine about 3,500 years ago, a major increase in tidal range to near what we have today, plus cooling inshore waters for the more recent shell midden deposits, 3,000 years or less in age from Penobscot Bay and eastward, there are no oysters. A report written by Joel Couger from the Maine State Planning Office dated September 2, 1975, titled Natural Occurrence of the American Oyster in Maine and its Relevance to the Critical Areas Program states, there is no evidence to suggest that oysters have ever been widely distributed in Maine. This report continues by indicating that there were no naturally occurring oyster beds east of the Sheepscot River in 1975. Since oysters have not existed in eastern Maine for 3,000 years, they should be considered non-native and invasive. For decades, the wild shellfish harvest has been the second or third most valuable fishery in Maine. Nothing compares to our lobster industry. In 2021, the fishery was worth $25.3 million, while oysters were valued at $11.3 million. The number of wild shellfish harvesters in 2020
was... Mr. Bowden, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up.
Certainly. So you can read everything I wrote, but one thing I would really like you to observe is the photographs that I have at the end of the testimony. And those were taken in Surrey, Maine, recently, and those oysters have settled on hard mud and cobble substrate, which is clam habitat. So these oysters are settling on soft shell clam habitat, and that has happened in the last 4 years. So at what point are these going to reef up and completely smother existing shellfish beds?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? Thanks. Representative Landry?
Thank you. It's an interesting picture. It puts a different light on things. The competition between the oysters and the clams, do you think the oysters are just going to cover the surface or compete for food, or what's your concern?
I believe they will compete for food. Softshell clams filter about 15 gallons of water a day, and oysters filter about 50 gallons. So you've got this big vacuum sitting on top of the existing softshell clam beds. So they're going to take away a big portion of the food that may come their way. And when clams reproduce, no one knows how much clam seed is being eaten by the oysters that are sitting directly above this with their filtering system fully engaged. This is where we need a lot more scientific data to see what's happening. In Massachusetts, hard clams grow underneath oysters, but we're talking soft shell clams in Maine, which is a totally different species. So I'm just scared of what could happen to an existing fishery. Are we just swapping fisheries one for another? And it's really expensive to get into the oyster aquaculture industry, where it's relatively inexpensive to become a clam harvester, and you get paid today. You don't have to wait 3 years to get a paycheck.
Representative Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So these oysters here in this area in the photo, is anyone harvesting them? And is it required to have a license? Because I know very little about oysters.
In this particular area, it's prohibited to the taking a shellfish. So they're just going to sit there and continue to reproduce and make more and more and more because no one can harvest them due to pollution. So if a town shellfish committee regulates oysters under their town ordinance, you would need a town license to harvest feral oysters. If a town doesn't have a program, it's state law, which no permit is required.
So this particular area, they're there, but you can't harvest them because it's closed.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Thorne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. How do you think these oysters got here?
Natural set.
Natural.
The DMR area biologists for the shellfish program have been monitoring this site for 3 or 4 years now, yeah. And they've been watching these clam, these oysters grow.
So just a natural progression northward?
No, there's several oyster aquaculture farms not too far away, about a mile and a half away downstream.
Okay.
So as the tide comes in, it's most likely bringing the spat from those oyster operations into the head of the bay.
I see. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Seeing no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else in this room who would like to testify in favor of this bill? And where's that? Oh, did I put it in here? Is there anybody online? Oh, who am I talking to? I'm talking to nobody. Is there anybody online who wants to testify in favor of this? Where'd I stash that list? Okay. All right. Well, I know. I will find that as the first person who would like to come up and testify in opposition to this bill, please come forward. Oh.